Happy, happy Q Day, and welcome to A Cumin Perspective. I'm your co-host, Kevin.
I'm John.
Where we discuss and explore the divine masculine and feminine energy and New Earth insights.
Right on. Thank you, Kevin. Welcome, everyone, to A Cumin Perspective, where our goal is to bring interesting content, ideas, and laughter as we explore divine energies. Very happy to have you all here with us today. Thank you for joining.
Absolutely. We want to thank BBS Radio and Thomas for all of his behind-the-scenes engineering. We wouldn't have a show without them. They are so certainly awesome. The whole radio, TV, network system, and, of course, the engineers, they're awesome, awesome people.
Right on. Thank you, BBS.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're going to have open calls today, and we know that it's early in some parts of the world. Our show starts pretty early, but we would like to talk to anyone who would like to share their personal insights and experiences. All right, and let me go ahead and just mention the chat line phone number. I'm going to actually be giving you two phone numbers, but first one's the chat line phone number, and this is the one mainly used in the United States. So 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, one more time, 888-627-6008. And for those of you who are outside of the United States, you might want to use the direct line, and that is 323-744-4831, 323-744-4831. One more time, 323-744-4831. All right, John.
All right, good. Well, let's get at it, Kevin.
Yeah, this is our third show. I'm still just as nervous as the first show, you know.
I am too, Kevin. I still get the air in my balloon, though.
Oh, do you? Good. Yeah, I think it is supposed to be easier each time we go. I don't know.
I think they were talking about the bathroom when they said that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's see if I remember right. Last time we were talking in the show, last show, we were kind of talking about how do men feel through their heart. It was basically... we were kind of discussing the different energies between the masculine and the feminine, especially with the emotional expression. And, you know, the feminine energy, of course, is more open, very expressive, more in touch with their emotions, right? And that's something I think us men, the masculine energy, really needs to learn how to do. And because we're often more reserved. We kind of keep to ourselves. We're the people who like to fix things and create solutions, right? And that's what we were talking about, I think, last week.
Yeah, that's true, Kevin. And you know, we all have those energies. It's a matter of accessing them and not being afraid to, and then expressing ourselves, opening those doors, and that definitely gets easier once you've done that once or twice. To express yourself with more of your divine feminine. It does get easier. And so that's what we'll explore, is ways that maybe we can aid other folks out there to open their hearts a little easier and express themselves and their stories or feelings without fear. So,
right. So I thought maybe it would be good for this show, maybe to continue the discussion. And but expand it a little bit more, and let's go ahead. And I was thinking about the leadership area within the masculine feminine energy, right? The leadership. And again, for the listeners, I usually like to start the discussions based on the article that we have on our website just below the disclaimer, and just let you know again, we have an article there. And that's basically masculine, feminine, masculine versus feminine, and we recognize that as a 3D article, but that's all we have to go on right now. And but I thought maybe we'd expand our discussion, John, on a little bit more about the leadership.
Sure, we'll take it to 4 and 5D.
Exactly. 4 and 5D, right? So I stepped back a little bit, and you know how it's nice to look at a big perspective, look at everything in a very, like a fisheye lens way out there. Or maybe let's go up high up into the altitude skies and look down on everything with
Right.
a 30 to 40,000 foot attitude, you know, just looking down so that
I
you can
like
kind
it.
of, yeah, so you can kind of encompass what's going on. Be the fly on the wall and just observe, right? And what I'm noticing, especially with our ascension, I'm noticing how in particular, the United States, at least the government, is trying their best to expand as far as in ascension. And what I'm meaning by that is that they are trying to incorporate more feminine energy into our government system than what has previously been in that system. You know what I mean, John?
Yes, I
So
do.
for as long as I can remember, and generations past, our government has been basically the decisions have been made by men. Wouldn't you say that would be a fair statement, John?
Absolutely true, Kevin. And of course, men that align with a very negative, dark way is what they do as well. And so your administration that you're speaking of, yes, they've chosen women that are very high vibrating and not aligned with the dark at all. So
Yeah,
a very well needed divine feminine.
that's right. This current administration is incorporating the feminine energy, and in the past, and that's what it was the men who was making the decisions. And you know, I'm noticing there hasn't been very much progress in our country because of the men. I am really grateful that we haven't gone into the nuclear war already, because men making decisions based on mind energy rather than heart energy, you know, they always want to compare themselves who's got the biggest member, if you know what I mean. And instead of trying to create solutions, they oftentimes you know, make more disastrous decisions and get us into trouble. And of course, we're learning now that that's been the whole concept of the dark side, has been keeping us into wars and things like that, just because it creates money and wealth for the elites, and us, we're out of the picture. Basically, we're just, you know, just scraping to get by, and with debt. Now, where I'm going with this is, of course, that as you just mentioned, that here in our current administration, they are trying to incorporate the feminine energy. And my goodness, can you, how many women are now in the cabinet of the of this current administration? They're now in the leadership positions, the top highest leadership positions in the government. These women exhibit assertiveness and independence. They exhibit strength, and these are masculine energies, if you will, right? Mainly, mostly,
Right.
right? And they're showing the strength and the sensitivity, and also at the same time, they are within their heart center as well as a feminine energy. So I'm seeing that absolutely as a positive, right? It's about time we got a lot of feminine energy within our political system to help balance it out, and perhaps make decisions that are for the people and not for the elites. And you know, Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, Tulsi Gabbard, National Director of National Intelligence, was it Linda McMahon, Department of Education, and Kristi Noem, Secretary of Department. I mean, wow, these are really big,
Yes.
influential jobs, areas, you know.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to kind of mention that I'm noticing at a 30 to 40,000 foot level how we are changing, how we are ascending, at least in the government, and then will filter down throughout. I'm hoping that there will be more and more feminine energy within our government. So.
Yes, that's a very good point you're making there, Kevin. Now, these ladies, as you mentioned, they have a good presence of masculine energy that they have balanced with their natural feminine energy. And that is the key to their success and to their ability to balance their decisions. Again, it comes down to getting into your heart space. And we all have that ability just to get into our heart space, balance our energies, and express ourselves and at least make our decisions from the heart space. So I find myself more and more trying to do that. When I get into a situation where I'm getting worked up, maybe it's in traffic or maybe it's because somebody's policies at a store or something like that. I was in a store the other day actually that had these this entrance and exit. You can only go in this way. And once you're in the store, you have to go through their little maze around their registers and all this to get out. There was no way to get out. There was another gate. But you had to ask someone for them to buzz you out through that little swing gate. And there was an older gentleman in front of me, older, I say older than I. And he was frustrated. He couldn't get the gate open because it wasn't open and he didn't know what to do. And then someone pointed him to the line. So he went over and stood in the line. And there he was behind like 30 people thinking, well, how am I going to get out of here? So then I didn't have anything to buy at that store any either. So I was ready to leave. And the same thing. So I pulled the gate and it wouldn't open. And I thought, well, maybe it's you just got to pull a little tighter and it'll let go of its. So I did that and it did it with some sort of plastic mechanism that I don't think I broke it. Anyway, I opened it one out. Well, then I got scolded by that very same lady that I guess is there. You have to ask her to let you out, but she's busy at a service counter dealing with other folks. So it was really the whole situation was just designed, to get you, I guess, upset or angry or control you. This is the thing. And really, it was really a safety hazard they had going there. I didn't complain or anything because I didn't want to get involved with them. But she started to yak at me, and then she raised her voice more and more. And I just looked at her and I give her a little wave and I walked out the door. So I didn't even speak to her. But in those situations, sometimes you may have gone and said, my reaction may have been, oh, I may have given her a lesson on safety and how ignorant that would be to your customer to do that. But I didn't even do that. I just went to my heart space, smiled and gave her a wave and carried out the door on my way. So I'm sure I gave her something to talk about. She's probably still talking about the idiot that was in her store last Friday. I don't know. But anyway, it again, it didn't bother me. It didn't affect me any. I was happy. I got in my car and I drove away and it, as opposed to if you did argue or say something, then you're feeling bad later. Oh, why'd I even bother? There's all of that. So, yeah, just getting balanced and getting in a heart space, Kevin.
Yeah, that's good. It's nice to hear that you didn't exert your dominance, and basically telling her, what is the problem here? Why do you have to control this outlet? So good for you, John. Good for you.
I actually felt bad for her. She had a job. It was her job. She didn't put that policy in place, so that mechanism in place. But it was her job, of course, to stop people, and they empowered her, and she took that all the way to the bank. But I really felt bad that she thought that was she was doing a good thing, and she really thought she was doing her right the right thing for their company and so on. So I really more and more I'm feeling bad for people in those situations. Not to the point that I would. Pat them on the back for what they're doing, but I'm sympathetic that they're caught in that trap and they don't even realize it.
So, I was just again wanting to mention that now that we have these women in these high positions, they have more of a calm demeanor, right? And they slow down and they'll think things through, and I'm sure that they'll make better decisions. And I applaud President Trump for even having the knowledge, wisdom, if you will, to integrate these the feminine energy into the cabinet. And of course, he's having a lot of help. Obviously, Q hasn't been with us now for 3, 4 weeks, it seems like. I'm not, You ever notice how much I miss Q? You know, I think we're all
It's
missing him and not
true.
being around to talk to. I mean, we can obviously spiritually we can talk to him, but within ourselves, go within. But when he's absent on the radio programs, that's still another issue. I'm missing him. I'm sure he's very, very busy. Dealing with the world's situations and assisting our President Trump and others in the cabinet to help them and guide them, if you will, in going through this ascension process.
Right. That's true,
And
Kevin. When I'm watching excerpts from the news and so on, and his success, President Trump's success in Saudi Arabia and Qatar and all these places, I see Q there. He's obviously part of that program. So, absolutely.
So anyway, I just wanted to mention that as far as the leadership aspect, and I think it was important to bring that out.
Well, it is. And these ladies are extremely intelligent.
And of
And
course.
of course, as you mentioned, that they've always been there, just suppressed, not invited to the table. So it's so nice to see that Trump has done that. And it would be nice when the sheep see that.
Sure. And the ladies have a different communication style,
Oh, yeah, for
feminine
sure.
energy, right? Because they tend to be more collaborative. They tend to be more empathetic, use their intuition more, and again, they can slow down and be within their heart center, kind of be calm during stressful situations. And so their communication style is a lot better, a little different than, I can't say better, but more focused, more different than the masculine energy, because we seem to be more direct and assertive
Right.
and again. So.
Again, the way I see it, Kevin, is they seem to have access to their heart center easier. As the right ladies. Now, as you said, there's lots of women out there, whether it's Madame Albright, I think she was with the UK one time, and look at our in Canadian government. With a Christian, what's her name? She's Freeland there, and different women. They don't have a heart center. Those people, they're not good people. But right, he's done a great job putting the right ladies there, and the right men too. And you see the men there also exhibiting those qualities. Whether it's Kash Patel or Elon Musk, you see those things come through. So nice,
Yeah, you're right, John. You bring up an interesting point. The men seem to be, at least the men that are currently in the cabinet right now, with these leadership positions, seem to be maybe not the typical male energy. Maybe they are a little bit more balanced, do you think? Because
Definitely.
at least it appears that way on the surface.
Well, sure does. And you can really see it with Elon, with how he deals with his son and with JD Vance, and how he, how he expresses things with his family and so on. You can really see his heart center for
Oh
sure.
yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, all right. So, again, I like to encourage any listeners to phone in if you would like to share with us any kind of topics that would perhaps interest you. I know that we're to work right now have chosen a topic, basically leadership, but we're open to discussing anything that you would like to discuss. I think it's important that our listeners realize that they can call us and talk about anything, really. And we would appreciate if you would help us out, John and I, by sending. We have a contact form on BBS at the base of our A Human Perspective webpage at the bottom, very bottom almost. And there's a contact form there. And I believe it has been designed to where it will accept your input as far as what you would like us to talk about. We would very much appreciate if you could send us topics that you would like to talk about the listeners. And again, or we would encourage any kind of criticism or critique, because even we like to hear the bad stuff, if you will, because the only way we can get better is to know what we're doing wrong.
For
And
sure.
as just as that's how you grow, right? That's growth. So we'd appreciate it, hearing from you. Anybody, use that contact form at the base of the Acumen Perspective webpage, and we certainly appreciate your feedback. So, well, and we don't really have any callers at this as at this moment, and of course we can understand we are kind of early as well. We're on a Saturday morning, at least 11 a.m. Eastern time, and so we realize that it's kind of early. Anything else would we like to talk about, John?
Well, yes, I will put some feedback in there, Kevin. I would encourage callers to call in, please. We'd love to hear if you can hear your stories. And I have a story that I like to tell, and I hope that it inspires the listeners to maybe brings a memory back to mind or something they'd like to share. And I'm going to tell a story that's quite an intimate story on myself and my kids. From an earlier time in my life, and when I unexpectedly came into my heart space in a more feminine type of an energy balanced way. And as I say, I didn't expect it. It was in a situation that I was kind of dreading, to be truthful, to get into with the birth of our children. But I thought, well, it's really I should do something, especially Kevin. You and I had earlier talked in on private conversations about delivery of babies and how men were actually shunned away from even being present during the delivery, and of course you really can't get that experience unless you're there. You can maybe see it on a TV program, or you could hear about or get and so on, but it doesn't hit home. It's like looking at a picture of the Grand Canyon. You got to be there, So to really get the gist of the situation. So anyway, after the birth of our first one, it was just incredible to see what a lady goes through to give birth. It really amazed me, and it gives you total different respect and appreciation. Now, with our first one, which was the same with all, we had decided that the child was going to be breastfed and do as many as healthy decisions as we could for them and give them the best chance and start. So that's what we decided to do, and that's what we've done. And so we also decided that since it is a busy time and for the mother, that I would have that I would get up in the night, that she would pump, and that I would get up in the night and feed the baby. So I was dreading that. Oh goodness, here I got to go to work for 8 a.m. and I got to get up with if the baby happens to cry or need something. So, but that's fine. So as I say, I went into a kind of a, I guess you could say, a negative way that way. But I decided that I was going to do that. Absolutely, especially as I say, after going through the delivery room experience, I had that was small peanuts for me to get up and do that. So. Yeah, it was a great experience, by the way. It was wonderful, absolutely beautiful. And so I did, of course, with all four. But as it turned out, the babies only get up about once. Now and again, if they're not feeling well, they might get up twice to feed, or they're cranky about something. But for the most part, they only get up once during the night. Anyway, so I did that exact thing. I got up, and it was my turn to feed the baby. Well, Kevin, it didn't turn out to be a chore at all. It got to the point that I was looking forward to him crying because it gave me, oh, it was such a lovely experience, a bonding time. And I'm going to explain it in detail because that's the only way I can really hope to express the feelings and the connection that I had through doing that. So I'm right-handed, and I would lay the baby, of course, in my left arm, and I'd have his bottle ready. And he would start to suckle on the bottle. And I would hold the bottle between my thumb and forefinger. And my other three fingers, I would really have no place to put them. So I would gently put them on his cheek while he was. And the moment I touched his cheek, he would start to smile. And of course, then he would lose some milk to drain out and so out of his mouth. But he would start to smile immediately. And then, and of course, and then he'd look up at me. And our eyes made the contact that would never mo normally happen that way through that time, through that space. It was just miraculous to me. It was just this bonding time that I had. And then he put his little hand up on my face and touched my cheek with his tips of his fingers. And at this point, I thought this was all circumstance. And it was, oh yeah, it was very heart touching, Kevin. It was just a beautiful time. And so then I would take my fingers off of his face, and he wouldn't be as happy. He would maybe squirm a little bit and drop his hand. Then I'd put my tips of my fingers back on his cheek, and up would come his hand again back on my cheek. And the little tips of his fingers would just gently caress my cheek. And I have a funny story to tell you about my last child doing that, actually. So that's what I would do. And I experimented with all three of my babies doing that. And they would all do the same thing. They'd put the little hand right up on my face, and I'd have my tips of my fingers on on their face. And if I stopped doing that, they wouldn't be comfortable. They'd squirm or whatever. So there was a connection happening with our energy fields. I didn't know that at the time, but I can see that now. But I knew there was a connection. A very real connection. And it
Absolutely.
was an absolutely beautiful feeling to have that connection. I suddenly had the connection that my wife had with them. And anyone that's had children out there knows that their wife has a better connection than they do with their children. But at that time, when I was the giver of the milk and my body touching their body, that made the difference. And it was a wonderful experience for me. So I did this with all four of my children. But the final one, for whatever reason, I probably spent even extra time with him, whatever. Even after he was done breastfeeding, a year or maybe a little over a year into the time, he would still come over, sit up beside me, and reach up and put his fingertips on my face. And yeah, and rub and feel. If he could feel the stubble, it was even better for him to make that contact for whatever reason. But he did that for probably till he was 3 or 4 years old. He'd come over, and sometimes he'd climb up on the couch behind me. I'd be watching TV, and he'd reach around and put both fingertips on my cheeks while I was watching TV or whatever I was doing. I could be working on something, and he would do that. He would just be in the mood. I need a little dad time right now, and he'd climb up behind me and put his fingertips on my cheeks. So
It's
it was
as if,
go ahead, Kevin.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say, it's as if he wanted to reconnect with you and remember that feeling he had with you when he placed his fingers on your cheek and your fingers were on his cheek, and he wanted to reestablish that, it seems like.
Oh, for sure. He's still quite heart-centered and very very expressive that way with his feelings and so on. Yeah, it was a great experience. And I have a little story about my third son, which I'll tell a little later if we don't get callers or something. But yeah, that was quite a, and I hope it's not too intimate for people. It took a lot for me to even want to go public and share my story because it is quite personal. But I thought it might encourage callers, little things that happened in their lives, perhaps, or little. Or big things that happen that that they normally wouldn't perceive as being more of in their heart center, but maybe that would encourage them to give us a call or express their stories or experiences.
Absolutely. When you were talking about your story, John, it kind of reminded me also of a little bit about me. As listeners may be aware or not, I was retired where I was a registered nurse. And for a male to go into that profession is, I would say a man in that would have to have some way to be in touch with their heart center, to go into a caring profession like that. Basically, I am the minority within a majority of feminine energy, right? As
Yes.
far as nurses are basically, natural caregivers, and so I, but I for some reason chose to go into that profession because I wanted to care for people and help with help them in any way I could, especially when they were not feeling well or disadvantaged or whatever. And so I went
Right.
into nursing,
And your
and
career started in the military with nursing care, is that right?
it did. I started, I guess let's go with the masculine energy. I started in the United States Air Force in the military, right? And I trained in aeromedical evacuation, because again I wanted to help in some way. I didn't want to be the person holding the gun. I wanted to be the person to plug the hole. So anyway, so I went into aeromedical evacuation and I trained in that. And as I mentioned earlier, another show that I worked on C-130 aircraft. And it was a very rewarding experience. But being in the military, you become disciplined. You have to adapt to that military way of life, organized. I was an officer, so I was placed into a leadership position. Because I was in command of squadrons, or not squadrons, but actually I was in command of a 5-crew aviation crew on the C-130. So I learned a little bit about leadership while I was in the military, and again in the caring area of the military, and then went into the nursing field, and then started working in the Veterans Administration because I wanted to carry that through, and working with veterans and taking care of them. And I wound up, found myself enjoying the hospice and palliative care area, which again is a different specialty. Now I'm caring for the end of life patient and not necessarily healing them to continue on with their life.
That's a very tough spot to be in.
Yeah, and but I enjoyed it for 17 years. I loved caring for the family. It's like 80% family, 20% patient when you're kind of in that environment, right? Because
Interesting.
you're really helping the families adapt and deal with anticipatory grief and things like that. And then of course helping the veteran deal with, and we dealt with a lot of the World War II veterans in Vietnam, and they saw a lot of combat and they had to deal with their demons, if you will, while they were slipping away, if you will, and transitioning. It's funny, Q says he's a transition expert,
Specialist,
right?
yeah, you're
And a
right.
specialist, right? A transition specialist. In a small way, so was I. I was kind of help the veteran transition from becoming more in touch with their feelings and sharing with the family prior to them transitioning out of the body and into the spirit. So that was quite different, and I enjoyed that. And so I just wanted to share that because that kind of shows a little bit about the masculine energy within me, and also my feminine energy, and how I tried to and trying to balance those two. And so now I'm retired from both fields, and I'm just enjoying this radio show and kind of being, as I mentioned, I've done a lot of things that are strange in my life. Well, here's another one on the bucket list of being a podcaster or a radio show host, right? So anyway,
And still balancing energies.
yeah, and still balancing and talking about it now a little bit about the balancing of the masculine and feminine energies. Yeah, so interesting.
It's very interesting. That's a good story, Kevin. I'm going to tell you that little story about my third son.
Oh, okay.
And it's a funny little story. So with my kids, before they went to bed, I would read them stories. And early on, it's just picture books, and they're looking at them. This one book, it was an animal book. There's different animals in there. And with my first guy, I come along, there's a zebra in the book. And we get to the zebra. And of course, just to kind of confuse them or mess with their minds, tease the kids, I would say, I said to him, I said, now, does that zebra have white stripes or black stripes? And of course, they'd be all confused and looking up and down for a few seconds and trying to get it. So we just carry on. And then with my next boy that came along, same thing, confused him the same way. But then my third guy, which is still a character to this very day, I said it to him. I said, now, does that zebra have white stripes or black stripes? And expecting him to be confused is what I expected, of course, and be kind of caught up in the book and figure it out, try to figure it out. He looked up at me like I had lost my head. He said, Dad, he guts both.
You weren't tricking him. He
No.
right.
No, and to this very day, he's quite a character, this guy. My God. Yeah. One time he was about, I would say he's about 6 or 7. This one time he had done something, and his mother sent him upstairs to bed for the night. You get up there to bed. And it was around 6 o'clock. He's going up the stairs, and he's stamping his feet like they were about 100 pounds a piece, making sure we could all hear him. He got about halfway up, and he said, "You're right, I'm going, and you're not going to see me for the rest of the night." Yeah, we almost got him back down. It
Oh
almost worked. Oh, yes. Yeah. What else you got in mind, Kevin?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. Oh, maybe it's time for sad jokes.
Okay, we can do that. Sure.
Yeah, sad, SAD, stupid and dumb jokes. I
Oh,
don't know.
gee,
I
that's
thought,
right
yeah.
up my alley.
I thought, you're well known. Actually, you're preceded, John, of telling jokes. Q is aware of your joke telling style and stuff, and so we've come to expect a joke from you, one or two at least,
Oh, dear.
And so I thought it would be good to incorporate in the show a little spot, in the show. Called sad jokes, stupid and dumb jokes.
Well,
And
gee,
we'll, yeah.
thanks for all your confidence there,
Yeah.
Kevin.
Well, when the listeners hear these jokes, they'll certainly understand why I call them sad jokes.
Okay.
And but anyway, I thought it'd be a interesting as a new component to the show. So,
All
did
right.
you want to
I'll
kick us
start you.
off? Yeah.
Sure, I will. Well, Kevin, I had one written down that I was going to use at another on another program a little later, but I'll use it now. Only because it does relate to feminine and masculine energy. All
Okay.
right.
All right.
So there is this university, this college, and the girls in the sorority house, they're at night, they're getting ready for bed, and they look over and they can see in the windows of the guys' place, the fraternity house across the courtyard. And
Okay.
every night they can undress, and they don't seem to care too much. The girls can see right in the windows, and the guys just doing their thing over there. So they wrote a letter. They said, "We're gonna write a letter to these guys and see if we can get a little consideration from them." So the guys received this letter and said, "Dear guys of the fraternity house, we girls of the sorority house would appreciate if you could close your curtains at night, as we do not appreciate this course in human anatomy that you display each night." So they wrote a letter back and said, "Dear girls of the sorority house, from the boys at the fraternity house, this course is not compulsory."
All right. Okay.
You're up, Kevin. You better talk. Top that one, Kevin.
I think my jokes are more sad, I think, than yours will be. Mine will be really kind of dumb and
Depends
stupid.
on the listener.
Yeah, well. Two old ladies sitting in a church. One turns to the other and says, "My butt fell asleep." The other says, "Yeah, I thought I heard snore a couple times." Okay.
Kevin,
Well.
that'll definitely get some phone calls.
Yeah.
Well,
I farted on my wallet, and now I've got gas money. That was another. Yeah. And did you hear about the guy who drank invisible ink? Yeah. He's at the hospital waiting to be seen. Okay. Well.
That joke, waiting to be seen, reminds me of one I heard quite a few years ago about this new deodorant that this company was developing. And then instead of they'd spray it on, you'd spray it on and you would disappear. And your company would stand around wondering where the hell the smell was coming from.
Oh,
Oh, dear.
man.
Was a laugh at ourselves.
Yeah.
I do have a little Johnny joke. Since I'm little Johnny, Kevin.
Oh, little Johnny. All right,
All right.
Johnny.
So
Little
little
Johnny.
Johnny is late for school 3 days in a row. And the teacher finally, on the third day, says, "Johnny, you've been an hour late each day. Now, what's going on?" He said, "Well, I can't help it. It's that time of year. And I have to take the bull out to the cows." And she said, "Well, couldn't your father do that?" He said, "Oh, no, it takes a bull." It takes a
All
bull.
right. Oh, it takes the bull. Okay. All right. Woo.
Dumb teacher.
I invented a new word today.
Oh.
Yeah. Plagiarism. Let that I know
Now that is a sad joke.
that. Yeah, okay. I know it's dumb, stupid. All right. Anyway, that'll probably really go over well in the show, you think? I mentioned it.
We'll get some, we'll
I
definitely get
mentioned
people writing.
I mentioned for them to, send in their critiques or whatever. Yeah, they'll probably say, let's ixnay that one now, Kevin. Well, I hope not, but I thought it would be fun. I've got more jokes later on in the future.
I have one, Kevin, about a guy that rents a suite in our apartment in one of Trump's fancy places.
Oh, okay.
Towers. And there's a doorman there. And this guy gets up to his suite and goes in and he says to his wife, he said, "Ah, that makes me so angry." She said, "What?" He said, "Every day I come home, that darn doorman down there brags about how he made love to every woman in this darn building but one." She said, "Must be that snooty Mrs. McGinley on the second floor."
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else we'd like to talk about? So, yeah, that was it for the
Yeah,
sad joke part.
that's it
Unless
for
you got another one,
the
John.
humor.
Yeah,
No, that's it for the
that's it for the
humor. Well, I got
that's
lots of
it
them,
for the
Kevin, but
humor. So,
we
oh,
don't want to
I'm
start a
yeah,
comedy
yeah.
show.
No, this isn't a comedy show. This is basically one on the masculine feminine energy. But anyway, do you have any other examples as far as any way that you have experienced the feminine or energy side? Or I'm trying to
There
think.
are. There, you
Oh,
know,
are
there's
there?
lots of things I'd like to discuss with Q. I mean, we could discuss them here, but which would be fine. But I'm not sure, like, there are going to be more questions we have for each other. Maybe good for the audience to hear them anyway. But there's a few different things. One thing is about the well, I guess it there's two different topics here, but that's basically one. And one is about the Kundalini energy that Q had talked about that he's going to focus on a program. Of course, he has no concept of time, so he told us that I think about 6 months ago that he was going to have a future show on it. And the other one, which is I believe it's entwined with that, is about masculine energy and the male's part in delivering the divine energy. Now, I
Yeah,
believe, Kevin, that, oh, go ahead.
Within Kundalini, are you
Yeah, kind of. Well,
referencing that, or
I think it's
okay.
connected because I believe Q had talked about the Kundalini energy, or at least about the male bringing in the spirit, being the one to deliver the spirit. Does that ring a bell with you, Kevin?
Well, my
In terms of conception, creating a
conception,
baby.
my idea of perception, if you will, perspective, maybe a kundalini, is an energy that begins from the base, the root. We've learned in the woo-woo club that there's like chakras, right? Seven or so more different energy vortexes within the midline of our human body, or basically within the spiritual aspect within our human body, and they're all energy vortexes. And my understanding is the Kundalini energy begins down in the root chakra, which we would basically say it's the genital area, and will then start increasing. That energy begins increasing and then traveling up to the next chakra and increasing that one. And as each time the energy increases, it goes to the next chakra and the next chakra. And this energy is just, it becomes extremely intense. And my thought is, when two people are extremely intimate within the process of procreation, if you will, that energy, both of their energies combined, and begins to feed each other's kundalini energy, and to where it will crescendo and go up and up and up and out through the crown chakra and become extremely bliss. Put yourself, both of them, in a bliss state, a blissful state. And this was a state in which the two people could remain in for hours, if not days, from what I understand. I mean, it could be
Right.
that powerful to where that both people could be have so much energy and pleasure and bliss that it could stay with them for days and days.
Right. That experience is spoken of in the Anastasia series books, The Ringing Cedars, and she talks about the male delivering the spirit and that pornography and so on that's been introduced to us deliberately. And of course, she also talks about the male being mechanical and that sexual expression or satisfaction is more mechanical for a male. And that through that, through those actions, that a lot of spirits are created and have great suffering because of these spirits being released. And of course, I believe that the evil siphon the energy from these spirits and where they're delivered to. Now, it kind of gets convoluted because with what I'm about to say, because as you know, one of my questions to Q was, how long, when does the spirit enter the baby? And he said 18 to 21 days. So the embryo starts almost immediately. And so where is that spirit now that we know that the male is the one who is the portal to bring the spirit in? Where is that spirit for that period of time? Is it part of what helps, or does it reside in the placenta? These kind of questions are what I have for that. And you're right about bringing the kundalini into it, because the kundalini energy, the way I see it, is of course it's present in both male and females. And you're right, the spine, which is represented in the caduceus of Hermes, which is the kind of in the medical symbol, where that's that straight kind of rod. And then we have the entwined snakes around there, which are really representative of the pathways of the nerves that come from the brain down to the base. They're negative or electric and magnetic, or feminine and masculine energies, and they wrap. And they one is the Ida nerve, the other one's the Pingala, I think is the name of that nerve. And they send these energies then, and these energies get developed and so on, and then stored at the base, yeah, of your kundalini. And then, as you say, they can they can advance from there. But if you, of course, if you retain this energy, it helps to heal and helps deliver our bodies higher in ascension. But when you release these energies, of course, now your body doesn't have those energies. So that could explain why women outlive men too, perhaps. I say a lot of this, it's a good discussion, I guess, to get thoughts going, but it'd be a great topic and questions for Q. So my question about the about the males, however, is that exactly about how it where does it go, for example, for that period of time? And through Anastasia, she tells us that a lot of spirits are released by men, and that it's a very painful and suffering thing for spirits. So it's one big ball of wax, this whole thing, if you will, or yarn that we have to explore. But I would like to, as I say, it's a question I'd like to ask them. And
Well, yeah, it's an interesting question, and of course, just recently, was it yesterday? For the people dot space released some more articles, and one of which is called The Domain, and it discussed and talked about the creation light ship, and that all of us in spirit came from the creation light ship from source. They're saying the ship is source, and we come from the creation light ship as source. So I was thinking when you were discussing where is the spirit before it enters the new body with that 21-day period, I'm thinking it's still on the ship. It's still,
Yeah, I don't think so, Kevin, because Anastasia, or in those series, it talks about the spirit being released by the male. And that there's great suffering because the spirit has not been united
So
with
I
other
see.
energies to create a new being,
So you're wondering
take
where
the
is the spirit?
human form.
So where is the spirit when the male releases this energy?
Yeah,
Where's the
that's
spirit
true.
reside before the 21 days?
And I don't know. Yeah, I'm thinking it might be part of the placenta might be a part of that home. But more
Okay.
importantly is the fact that the spirit does get released by the male. And that's creating a lot of suffering. And so there's a union. For example, in these Anastasia books, this gentleman and Anastasia, they have a sexual encounter, but not when he wanted to. He wanted to do it mechanically, basically, out of lust. And then other things happen over a period of time. And then the time was right. The conditions for both people were right. And then it was an experience that he expresses that he has never had before. It was an experience, a sexual experience, if you will, that he never experienced before. And it's because, as I think Q mentions, that when he and we'll say Ra are creating, it happens immediately that the spirit is in the baby and the baby begins to grow or whatever that deal is there. You know how that comes together, but with the males, as I say, there's and I think we've been manipulated. Well, not think, I know it's because what the Cabal has done to, the evil dark side has done beyond the Cabal, I guess, has done to our what they've done to our DNA and how they've made men more mechanical. And they've manipulated the masculine and feminine bodies and its energies and its triggers that also support what they want. And it's really, so somehow we have to deal with those energies, I guess, is what I'd like to kind of focus on a bit more too. And as I
Okay.
say, that's something I'd like to discuss with Q. It's really
Yep.
a question for Q, but I thought I'd put the topic out there that perhaps people could think about it.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, John, time flies when we're having fun. And
Can't believe it.
I
It's
know,
almost, time's almost up, Kevin.
yeah, it seems like our time is up. I would like to announce that in our next show, we will perhaps have our first special guests, and I am
Wow.
quite certain you won't want to miss joining us. I think it's going to be a hoot, if you will. It's going to be a lot of fun. So,
Stay tuned.
yeah. So stay tuned for Soul Journeys with Humi, and her crew next on BBS Radio TV. John, do you want to say anything before we actually
No,
head
just
out?
that we have a really good show programmed for on our next program here in 2 weeks, and we'd like to have people join in. Absolutely. It's been a great show, Kevin, as usual.
Yes. And thank you, BBS. And thanks again, everybody, for joining us on A Cumin Perspective. Bye for now.
Yes, thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks for that. Bye for now, and we'll see you next time on A Cumin Perspective.